Hey everyone, welcome into the show. We got new data on the middle class that I want to talk about before we get into your Q&A questions here. So new data on the middle class shows just how devastated America's middle class has become over the last 20 years. America's middle class right now is virtually non-existent. I don't even think it really exists anymore. The disparity between the haves and the have-nots has grown to an unbelievable level. So as investors, we need to be thinking about how can we take the less money that we have coming in forms of wages while we have this high inflation and converting that into tangible assets that are going to produce income for us or act as a hedge against inflation. So new data out shows that from 1970 to 2021, the share of U.S. aggregate income earned by the middle class shrunk massively from formerly 62% in 1970 to just 42%. Unbelievable. And at the other side of this is what China has done, which is the exact opposite of what the United States has done. Now, I'm not like any kind of pro-China or anything. I'm just pointing out the facts here. China's middle class has expanded by 49% in the last 15 to 20 years, the opposite of what we have done. We've outsourced our manufacturing. All of our commodities are now outsourced, right? We've now clamped down on all sorts of growth in the United States. And this is the end result of it. A dollar that is declining, the printing of money. And so we're seeing runaway inflation. So the value of that dollar that you get from working a 40-hour work week is now way less than it was 10 years ago. You're working harder for less money. And the value of the dollar that you're getting at the end of the day in your paycheck is worth less. So we can sit back and we can freak out about it and we can be upset about it. Or we can do what smart investors do. Like we had a number of investors this week who picked up their first properties and super excited about it. And others who have added now to their portfolio because they see what's coming in this recession. We had one investor who already owns three properties, is adding two more to his portfolio because it's a hedge against inflation. It's a way to produce monthly cash flow. And also you're getting the incredible tax benefits of owning a tangible asset in real estate. So whatever you do, whether it's buying real estate or it's buying other tangible assets that are not tied to the US dollar, in fact, where the US dollar goes down in value and therefore your asset goes down in value, like gold or silver as a standalone asset or real estate, these are smart things to do right now in this economy, guys, as we are in a recession. So we heard from Jerome Powell, the Fed chief, who was punked on a phone call a few weeks ago, and that phone call has now been leaked. He thought he was on the phone with Volodymyr Zelensky, who's the corrupt head of Ukraine. And he thought he was on the phone with him, basically admitting that we're heading for a recession in the United States. That's basically what he said. And so how can we have a soft landing? But who's going to be hit the hardest in the United States will be this evaporating middle class and the poor. But who will not be hurt by it is going to be the upper class. It's going to be the big corporations who benefit from the additional printing of money and all of those middle businesses that go out of business and because they'll be consolidated at the top. You know, the Amazons of the world and the big corporations will take advantage of this coming recession. But what we know is we're probably not going to see additional rate hikes from the Fed this year. We also know, according to the futures markets, that, yeah, we're probably going to see rate decreases and the additional printing of money as we head into 2024. So what do you do with all of that information? Do you sit back and just get angry about it? You can. I get angry about it all the time, thinking about what these guys are doing to us. Or do I take action and become an investor? So for Natalie and I, we invest in real estate and gold and silver. Like that's what we do. That's it. And we own businesses, right? Owning businesses that invest, having businesses that have real estate. There you go. Like it's no secret formula, guys. That's what we teach you on this channel, how to prepare yourself, how to become a real estate investor. And on our website, if you go to morrisinvest.com, you can book a call with our team if you're interested in investing in real estate or read all of the resources that we have there. We even have our financial freedom number cheat sheet, which you can download. Again, it's totally free. Go to morrisinvest.com/freedom and download it. It'll help you figure out the number that you need to achieve financial freedom. So again, this news is here. This is what we're facing. What do we do about it? Protect yourselves. That's what you do about it. And be smart about it, right? The money you're making is less now. The value of your US dollars is less now. Well, how do I convert those things to real estate and to other and precious minerals to protect my family? That's it. That's really the way I see it. Not a financial advisor, But that's what I'm doing. So now, without further ado, we've got questions from you guys. You're also able to leave us a voicemail question by going to our website, morrisinvest.com. And on the right side of your screen, you'll see a microphone icon. Just hit that microphone icon and we'll answer your phone calls here. So we've got three of them. Let's listen to, I think this is from Alvarado.
Clayton and team, hope all is well. My name is Alvaro, and I'm initially from the Boston area, Massachusetts. And I just moved to Chicago about a few months ago, September, actually. My question to you today is regarding HELOCs. And actually, your channel is how I found out about HELOCs a while back. And so, one, thank you for that and all the other information you've been able to send to us. What I'm trying to do now is take out a HELOC on one of my two duplexes that I own in the Boston area. What I'm coming up against is a lot of banks do not offer HELOCs for non-owner occupied residences. I've called probably close to 30 banks, and they only do primary owner occupied. So I just like some guidance on what I might be able to do to take out this HELOC, tap into that equity for my investment property so that I can buy more investments property. Thanks a lot for your time and hope to hear back from you soon.
Thank you, Alvaro. Sorry, I said Alvarado, but my eyes are so bad when I looked at the file name. Sorry about that. But thank you. And thank you for your kind words. And hey, great for taking action on your investments already. That's wonderful. So what I will say is just try harder. You know, if you've called 30 banks, call 50. You can do it. You know, banks will offer HELOCs on investment properties. Bottom line, you just have to find the right ones. So I know that doesn't maybe the answer that you want, but try it. Also try like Rocket Mortgage or something like that. Plug in your information and see if one will pop up there where banks will sort of compete for you. They're not a sponsor of the show or anything like that, but give them a try. I've talked on this show before about my friend Dan Krause over at Churchill Mortgage. Again, not a sponsor, not an affiliate, just a friend who does great work, very kind person. So Churchill Mortgage, and ask for Dan Krause. They will do home equity lines of credit on investment properties. I don't know if you've spoken to him or not. And there are certain state restrictions that they have as well. I don't think they do all 50 states. So there might be a state problem there with Massachusetts. I don't know. So just speak to him about that. But again, you're going to pay perhaps the problem with home equity lines of credit on investment properties is they tend to be a little bit more expensive. They are deemed as riskier, of course, for the banks because you're not living there, right? It's not your primary residence. And you already may have, you know, probably already have a mortgage on that property. So now you're taking out a second line of credit on that property. But again, you can find banks who are looking at that asset and saying, hey, that's a great asset. And we are willing to do it. We see that the cash flow from the tenant is this. Let's see your rent roll for the past 3 years in that property. Like, what does that look like? How is this producing? What is the appraisal on this property? And there are definitely things you can do to put in place to make sure that you can get a home equity line of credit on your investment property. So I know that might not be the answer that you want, which is to call more banks, but that is honestly, they exist. They're out there and they will do it. So I would try the friends over at Churchill Mortgage, give them a try as well. I would also say private money. So if you hit a wall with traditional financing, go the private money route. You know, jump onto LinkedIn and just do a search for, just type in private money lenders and see who pops up. Private money. Again, this is not bank money. This is private money. And you'll have groups of investors and different guys that will get together, almost creating their own like little hedge fund, and they'll lend out money. Now, the interest rates might be a little bit higher. It doesn't, you know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? Because if you're making money off of somebody else's money, I'll take that nut any day of the week. So anyway, give those options a try, Alvaro, and see if you can get some solutions there. But good luck to you and great for thinking about getting a home equity line of credit. That's one of my favorite ways to build your portfolio. All right, our next question comes to us from Hannah.
Hi, Clayton. This is Hannah. I have another question. I'm a little confused. I'm told that it's better to have loans so you can write off the interest, but then I'm told you should accelerate your mortgage and pay your home off in 3 to 5 years, period. Can you please help me understand which one is better and advantageous to a new real estate investor? Thank you.
Okay. So there, Hannah, thank you for the question. And I can sense the frustration and you're getting conflicting advice on this. And let me just say that again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do, right? You can choose. Some people love to have no debt, right? The problem with having no debt, of course, is that you have to accumulate more real estate in order to then cover the amount you're making now from your income from the tenants, right? Because now all of that is gold. I mean, all of that is gravy, right? All of the money you're getting from the cash flow from your tenants, you don't have anything to offset it in the form of a mortgage or anything like that, right? So now you have to pay taxes on that. Well, then what do? You buy another property, right? This is the old story, buy until you die. This is why investors buy until they die, right? Because once you stop, then all of that income is now taxable and you don't have any offsets. So you want to keep accumulating real estate and, you know, buying until you die. But remember, Hannah, there are three stages of real estate investing. And I don't know what stage you're in, but there are three stages: buy, own, and cash flow. If you're in the accumulation phase, which it sounds like you are, then you really shouldn't even be thinking about the cash flow at this time, right? You should be buying using loans, in my opinion. This is what I do: buying using the bank's money to build assets. If you're working and you're doing other things, you don't need to worry about the cash flow yet. What you're doing is you're building up a tax shelter at the first stage, okay? And so the cash flow should cover your mortgages, right? Maybe you put a little bit more that's going in the bank and maybe helping you pay down. So what you can do in that early stage is use that little extra cash flow that's not being used to pay down the mortgage and your expenses, whatever else you got, 200, 300 extra, fire it at the principal balance of your mortgages, right? Great. And then the second stage is you own the properties. Now you own them, okay? And now they're paid off and now they're cash flowing. But again, now I come back to the problem. Now Uncle Sam's going to want his big nut, right? He's going to want that taxes on all of that cash flow from your tenants, okay? So how do you offset it? You acquire more properties, okay? And you buy until you die and you rinse and repeat this process. So again, I come back to a friend of mine who had, he bought like a 90 to 100 properties a number of years ago. This was back when you could pick up like foreclosures and all this stuff. He bought them and did renovations on them and he got loans and he had loans across like all of them. I don't know how he did it. It was private money and other stuff. Anyway, he bought them in stages. And after about 5 years, he pretended like he didn't even own the properties. He was just using all the cash flow from these properties to pay off the loans. Extra money was going to pay off the loans, but he was building equity that whole time. Okay. So he was in the buying phase. And then they started popping. Like every few months, a new batch of them were now paid off, right? And then after 5 years, all of them were paid off. Now he's got a huge problem because now all of that cash flow is taxable. So then he had to start, and he started acquiring more properties to offset that cash flow and building up his net worth, and you're creating that tax shelter. So again, if it's a primary mortgage, Natalie and I have written a book on it. You can read it on Amazon. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. And it's the blue cover. If you want to pick up that copy, it's the blue cover. It's the newest edition. And we teach you how to both pay off your mortgage, but also invest in real estate simultaneously. So again, I'm a fan of using the bank's money. And if I'm covered, why would I want to accelerate that? I don't need to accelerate and pay it off more quickly. I really don't. Like, let me use the bank's money and let me build equity and let me, you know, have that tax shelter. The bank doesn't get the benefits of the tax shelter. I do as an investor. So again, there's just different schools of thought on paying them off more quickly. Again, once you pay them off, you get that cash flow. And now you're going to have to figure out how to offset that income. I hope you find this helpful, Hannah. Again, it's a personal preference thing. Just making sure though that you've got the cash flow that's covering your mortgages. Like if you're upside down, that's a different animal. You know, if you're upside down in your loans, then we got a problem. But if you're covered and you're making good money and the cash flow from those properties exceeds what you need to pay every month and you're putting some money away and you can pay down the principal balance, great. Then you're golden. All right, our next question from Troy.
Hi, Clayton. Tony D here. First, I want to say that I'm big
Tony,
fan.
Sorry.
I listen to your podcasts all the time and love all the advice and info you give. So thank you for that. Just ordered your book, actually, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, and really looking forward to getting that in the mail so I can get started with that.
Thank you, Tony.
But my question is, we own a rental in Montana. It's worth about $300K, and we owe about $150. So a bit of equity there to work with. And I was just wondering about a HELOC, a first lien HELOC, maybe cash out and buy another rental and put that into some more rental property. So just wanted to get your thoughts and recommendations on that. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
So, Tony, thank you. I would refer you back to Alvaro's question at the beginning of this episode. I don't want to repeat what I said there, but I think, you know, in Montana, I would start with some of the local banks and see what they have to offer. Now, we do know that a lot of small banks, of course, are being swallowed up right now by what's been happening with the banking collapse in the United States. So, you know, it depends on the size of the banks and what they have and if they're able to do that or not. So I would definitely talk to a lot of your local banks in Montana, a place I used to live. I love Montana. So I'd try some of the banks in Butte and Bozeman and Helena and Billings and see what you can come up with. And then branch out from there. I would reach out to, like I said, my friend Dan Krause over at Churchill Mortgage and see what you can do there with them. Also try like Rocket Mortgage and to get that home equity line of credit on that property to be able to pull out some of that equity in that property. Absolutely the case that I would absolutely want to use that equity if I were you, because if you've got like $150,000 in equity, I can just speak to what we do at Morris Invest and with our team at Sidera Wealth. Like that's about, you know, a down payment on one of our brand new construction rental properties is going to be about $45,000-$50,000, right? So a brand new property that you can get using a home equity line of credit in equity that you're sitting on that you can't eat right now, you know, you can't eat equity, to be able to pull that out and to buy additional rental properties to me is a no-brainer, absolutely a no-brainer. So sorry, Tony, I kind of covered a lot of this with Alvaro's question, but hopefully you can pull pieces from that as well. But just get on the phone. You're going to find, you will find somebody. And if you don't, like you've exhausted yourself calling all these different banks, then, you know, again, jump on LinkedIn and look for private money lenders who are willing to do that as well. There's so much money out there that there you will find somebody. It's just a matter of being a dog with a bone, you know, and go after it. Just don't give up. I'm one of those people, I just don't take no for an answer, you know, like we will find somebody. There's where there's a will, there's a way, you know? So we have a saying in the Morris family, like, you know, we just don't give up. We just do not give up. So you will find somebody. Just keep looking. So thank you guys for your great questions. You can go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen if you'd like to leave us a voicemail question. As well, if you'd like to book a call with our team, we build new construction rental properties in some of the best rental markets in the country. Our team will walk you through the entire process and hold your hand through the whole thing, full service rental real estate. So book a call with our team at Morris Invest today, and we will see you next time, everyone. Have a great rest of your May this spring. Bye, everyone.